Episode number 6 of The Starter is brought to you by Petco.com coupon code LAUGH, which saves you 10% and gets you free shipping on orders of $65 or more. Save on over 10,000 high-quality pet products, including food, supplies, and services. Use the bottomless bowl repeat delivery service to save time and money with scheduled deliveries. Get your pet's necessities and fun stuff delivered right to your door with the coupon code LAUGH. For orders under $65, use the coupon code LAUGH10 to save 10%. Some restrictions apply. Jot down Petco.com, the coupon code LAUGH. Send that to all your friends with pets. And now on with our story. Welcome to The Starter, book 2 in the Galactic Football League series, written and performed by New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler. This novel is suitable for ages 12 and up and contains graphic on-field violence. This novel and book 1, The Rookie, is available as an ebook for Nook, Kindle, and most ebook readers, as a limited edition hardcover, and as a full-length unabridged audiobook. To order any version, visit scottsigler.com/order. Yes, order. It's almost ordering time for book 3 of the Galactic Football League series, The All-Pro, which will go on pre-order April 1st, 2011. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. The rest of y'all in the world, you can figure out what your times are compared to that. That will be happening at scottsigler.com. That's right! Book 3 goes The Rookie, then The Starter, which you're listening to now, then The All-Pro. Holy crap, are we excited. Tune in after the episode. I have some critical information for the All-Pro launch for the pre-order. If you are planning on getting that book, you will want to listen to this information. That little thing we call Sigler Fest sold out, bitches. There are no more slots available. We packed the house for it. But if you want to get on the waiting list for Sigler Fest, May 26th, 27th, Baltimore, Maryland, email media@scottsigler.com. What a journey it has been for A. Kovacs and I to put together this epic, massive quest story of Quentin Barnes combining science fiction and crime and sports to give you something that you have not seen anywhere else. This isn't a spaceship drama. This isn't a sports drama. It's all kinds of different stuff put together. And now on April 1st, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern at scottsigler.com, book 3, The All-Pro, goes up for sale. Why should you write down that date? Why should you write down those times? Let me tell you why. Like The Rookie and The Starter, The All-Pro is a limited edition, hardcover, signed, and here's the keyword, and numbered. The number of book you get depends on when your order comes in. Now, we have taken precautions. There was such a rush for The Rookie, we crashed servers. So for The Starter, we tried a whole new server setup. There was such a rush for that, we crashed those as well. We will probably sell 1,000 books in just a couple of hours. So you can get a very low number, be super cool in the Siglerverse if you are there, ready to order, right on time. After this episode, I will have 28 new junkie shoutouts as well as a promo for John Dodd's Bone Machines. And I don't think that's a porno. So it's probably an audiobook. Also, after this episode, we'll be talking about a brand new project called Blood is Red. This is for all of you people with smartphones, with ebook readers, this super cool thing that we're going to be launching, and I'll tell you all about that after the episode. That's it for now, junkies. I hope you are ready to enjoy The Starter, episode number 6. Quentin hurried down the corridor toward the touchback's practice field. He'd slept soundly and awoken to find all the crap cleaned out of his quarters. Pilkey had been a busy boy in the night. Quiet, but busy. The modification to Quentin's quarters weren't complete. Contractors would be working on the walls during the day while Quentin was out of the rooms. He'd been called to the practice field to help evaluate the free agent candidates. It excited Quentin to have some control over personnel decisions. He would meet the rookies the next day. They had been selected without his input, mostly because the research on them had been done while Quentin was busy quarterbacking the Krakens in Tier 2. After the Tier 1 campaign finished in 13 weeks, however, Quentin envisioned himself locked away with Hokor during the offseason, reviewing holo after holo of key free agents and potential rookies from around the galaxy. From here on out, every player decision would have the Quentin Barnes stamp of approval. He walked down the tunnel, happy to be back in the touchback's familiar surroundings. Despite the parade bombing and the fear it brought, he felt safe up here. Safe and relieved to once again focus on the only thing that really mattered, football. Everything seemed possible. He tasted eternal life in his mouth, felt it on his skin. A logical part of his brain said, "This can't last forever," but his soul knew better. All of his hard work, a lifetime of dealing with a deadly culture, 3 seasons of putting up with teammates who treated him like a second-class citizen, all of it had led him to this church, his church, the church of football, a religion he created with his own feet, miracles he made with his own arm. He exited the tunnel into the touchback's full-size practice field. The nanograss didn't have a smell, which was a shame. Quentin loved the smell of a gridiron, loved to breathe in the sense of dirt, of plants, of the essence of football. Patches of small, flat, circular white clipper robots roamed across the green practice field, eating the ever-growing nanograss and keeping the surface perfectly trimmed. As he walked, the little robots cleared out of his way, then scooted back to their places after he passed. It was the same ship where he'd spent the last 3 months, but it felt different. He wasn't the Bush League upstart anymore. He was the starting quarterback of a Tier 1 football team. He knew this ship now, knew the 18 decks that rose beyond the end zones. Well, no, actually that wasn't true. He knew very little of the ship. Pretty much just his quarters, the cafeteria, the Kriegsbalek virtual practice system, and this field. He'd been so busy doing his job, fighting for his opportunity, that he'd barely explored the ship. Maybe he'd correct that sometime soon. He'd heard rumors that Captain Cheevers was pretty hot. Maybe he'd introduce himself. At the 18th deck, a clear, shallow dome crossed high above the field. Beyond that dome, black space and twinkling stars. So many stars. People said there was something like 400 billion in the Milky Way galaxy alone. Only a fraction had been explored so far, little more than 500 million or something like that. He didn't pay much attention to such things, but he'd heard it would take thousands of years just to see all the stars in this galaxy alone. Just one galaxy out of 500 billion known galaxies. At best, only a fraction of the Milky Way stars would be explored during his lifetime. Quentin jogged to the middle of the field, where Don Pine and 4 human players were waiting by a rack of footballs. Hokor, as always, floated about 10 feet above the field in his stupid golf cart. 3 of the new humans were dressed in armor and white practice jerseys. 1 wore street clothes. Don Pine gave Quentin a smile and a wink, the Hall of Fame quarterback's way of saying, "It's your show, but I'm here if you need me." Hokor looked so idiotic in his golf cart. The thing was built for a Quith leader's small stature, like a child's toy driven by an angry, one-eyed stuffed animal wearing a Kraken's windbreaker and baseball cap. The visual was a bit comical, but the audio was not. Hokor's cart had powerful speakers, and when he yelled through them, every player winced.
"Barnes,"
Hokor said.
"We picked up a free agent running back to play behind you soon, but we need to see if these tight ends can replace Saul's giver."
"Okay, coach, what do you want me to do?" Hokor waved to the 4 new humans, calling them over. Of the 3 wearing football gear, only 1 had a helmet on. The man dressed in street clothes shook Quentin's hand.
"Jay Martinez," he said. "Free agent running back. Happy to be here."
The man looked agile, but somewhat small. He wasn't even as big as his suit, whom Quentin considered a bit undersized for the position. No one, it seemed, measured up to Mitchell Fayette.
"Jay, I'm Quentin Barnes. Not dressing today?"
Jay tapped his left knee.
"Still healing up from an injury I got in the last week of Tier 2. I played for the Damascus Demons in the Union Conference."
Quentin couldn't remember the Demons' record. Damascus was a middle-of-the-pack franchise in the Planetary Union Conference. Martinez didn't seem like a major acquisition. The Krakens had also signed rookie running back Dan Campbell, but with both Fayette and Pearson gone, Yasud needed at least 1 more backup.
"Welcome," Quentin said,
then turned to the 1st of the 3 men dressed in gear. His skin was the bright white of a Tower native. Not quite as big as Quentin, but young and solid. Pietor Jewel, the man said, shaking Quentin's hand. I'm still under contract with the Errol Archers in the Key League, but they'll loan me for the season if you guys want me. Jewel was a name that Quentin did know. The Archers had entered the T2 tourney, losing in the first round to the Texas Earthlings. Jewel might not be a superstar, but he was a quality tight end. Happy to see what you got, Quentin said. But, loan? How does that work? Don Pine put a hand on Quentin's shoulder. Don did that whenever the older quarterback wanted to provide a bit of knowledge. Everyone else gave mostly useless advice. Don just shared his experience, then let Quentin figure it out for himself. Because Tier 2 teams are off when Tier 1 season is on and vice versa, Don said. T2 teams can loan players to T1 teams for a fee. Helps the T2 players get top-flight experience, which they bring back to their teams. And bruises, Pietor said. We bring those back as well. I got loaned to the Vic Vanguard last year, then went back to the Archers. I've been playing nonstop for 3 straight seasons. If you guys pick me up, it'll be my 4th, then back to the Archers for my 5th. Quentin nodded, impressed by the man's work ethic, but also concerned about that much constant play. Quentin himself had gone from Tier 3 straight up to a Tier 2 season and now was heading into a Tier 1 campaign. His body still hurt from the T2 tourney. He wondered if Jules could hold up through another 12 games of elite football. Pietor stepped back and the second human stepped up. Claudio Morgane, the man said. I was with the Blair Bastion, but hoping to catch on with a Tier 1 team. The Bastion played in the Sklorno Conference. The franchise had been around for 2 decades or more and had never made it into the T2 tournament. Quentin couldn't blame Morgane for wanting to find a way into Tier 1. Good luck, Quentin said. We'll see what you got. The third human walked up but didn't offer his hand. Instead, he took off his helmet, and Quentin took in what he assumed to be some kind of practical joke. The man's facial features made him look black or white, maybe even blue, but it was impossible to tell because bright yellow grease paint covered his skin. It looked odd, but then again, Quentin had touched the slimy raspers of a Sklorno. A little yellow grease paint wasn't going to bother him. Maybe the color was a religious statement or something. He offered his hand. Quentin Barnes! The man stared at the hand. Quentin let it hang there for an uncomfortable 5 seconds, then lowered it back to his side. The yellow-faced man stepped back. Quentin leaned in close to Pine. Hey, Don, what's the deal with this guy in the makeup? Pine shrugged and whispered back. Heck if I know. His name's Jorge Starcher. Seems kind of familiar to me, but I haven't seen any holos of him yet. He's been with the Moscow Hammers for 2 seasons. Moscow? I never heard of it. That one of those floating cities in the Hurrah system? Nope. Earth, Pine said. It's an NFL franchise. Tier 3. The NFL. Real Bush League stuff. Better than the PNFL, sure, but not much better. Why wouldn't he shake my hand? That annoys me. Pine put his hand on Quentin's shoulder. Hey, as long as Yellowface can catch, does it matter? Quentin thought for a second. Well, not right now, but maybe down the road, you know? I mean, if the guy can play, great, but if he's a jackass, that might be an issue, right? Pine smiled. You are learning fast, Q. Yeah, locker room poison is a big problem, but it's too early to tell that right now. How about you put him through the paces, see if he's worth the trouble? If he isn't, no point considering potential locker room politics. If he is, you evaluate from there. That makes sense? Quentin nodded. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Pine slapped him on the shoulder. Do your thing, kid.
Coach!
Quentin called up to Hokor's cart. What do you want to see first?
10-yard hooks,
Hokor said.
We're going to have to throw short against the ice storm, so let's start there.
Quentin walked to the rack of footballs. He grabbed the first one and bent at the knees, a simulation for taking a snap from center. The tight ends lined up 8 yards to his left. Pietor bent into a 3-point stance, one hand and both feet on the ground, head up, back flat, and parallel to the ground. Quentin took it all in, then looked forward, just as he would for a game-time snap.
Hut, hut!
Pietor shot off the line as Quentin took 3 steps back and brought the ball up to his ear. 7 yards into Pietor's route, Quentin reared back and threw a laser. Pietor stopped and turned, hands up to catch the timing pass. The ball slid through his palms and hit him in the chest. He winced, then grabbed the ball off the ground and ran back behind Jorge. Morgane was next. He leaned into the three-point stance, rocketed out on the snap. He ran the pattern well enough, but just seemed a little slow to Quentin. Maybe the guy would loosen up as they continued the drills. Quentin bent for the next snap, but Jorge was standing there, hands on hips, just staring at Quentin. Quentin stood.
Hey, Yellow, let's go. You want a shot at this roster slot or not?
The universe has decreed that you should throw harder, Jorge said. The cannons of fate cannot change history if the artillery shells of destiny do not finish their parabola of prophecy.
What?
Starcher!
Hokor's angry voice boomed from the floating golf cart speakers.
Starcher, you get in your stance and run the rounds I call!
Destiny, Pine said absently from behind Quentin. Why does that ring a bell? Jorge was still standing tall.
Throw hard, young Quentin, lest the doom of millennial atrophy fill our heads with cotton.
Dude, Quentin said, are you high?
Starcher!
Hokor screamed.
Last chance!
Hokor's fur was already fluffed up. Starcher wasn't doing himself any favors by infuriating the galaxy's angriest coach, that was for sure. Quentin nodded at Starcher.
Okay, you want the heat? You got the heat. Now, will you run the damn pattern?
The big tight end turned and leaned into his three-point stance, weight forward on his toes and on his extended hand.
Hey, Pine said. Wait a minute. I think I know that guy.
Pine, shut it,
Quentin said. This yellow-faced Starcher guy wanted the cannons? Cannons were Quentin's business, and business was good. He'd bounce one off this guy's face and send him home in a stretcher.
Hut, hut!
Starcher shot off the line. As Quentin brought up the ball and dropped three steps, he instantly saw that not only was Starcher bigger than Pietor and Morgane, he was much quicker. Quentin's brain took it all in, cataloging the details for later review. When Starcher passed 6 yards, Quentin was already in his throwing motion. This guy wanted a strong pass? Quentin would deliver a heater a fraction of a second too soon and see how Starcher liked that kind of destiny. Quentin threw as hard as he could. The ball shot out, hissing as the white strings and pebbled brown leather split the air. Starcher turned, his hands came up, and the ball slapped into those hands. For just a moment, Quentin heard a tiny ringing from the air inside the leather ball. The ping sound faded quickly, but punctuated the sentence that popped instantly and eagerly into Quentin's thoughts. This guy has world-class hands. World-class? And big. The ball practically vanished inside Starcher's mutant-sized hands and his sausage-thick fingers. They ran drills for another 20 minutes, but all that time only confirmed what Quentin had known from the first pass, that Jorge Starcher was a potential all-star who had somehow slipped through the cracks. On the final pass, just to be a smartass, Quentin threw a 10-yard pass as hard as he could. Jorge, possibly to just be a smartass as well, caught it with one hand. Quentin shook his head and laughed.
Nice job, man.
Starcher smiled, white teeth set in yellow grease paint skin.
No, Pine said. Not nice. I know why he's familiar. Jorge Starcher, aren't you George Starcher?
Pine,
Hokor said.
Never mind that.
Don turned to look up at the coach's cart. Oh, no, you don't, Hokor. Don't you even start that with me. Are you telling me you brought in George Starcher?
Who is George Starcher?
Quentin asked.
I am,
Starcher said.
Polisher of a dirty universe and keeper of the far flame.
Far flame? Quentin said. You are high.
I knew it,
Pine said.
Hokor, what the hell are you thinking?
Quentin looked back and forth between Starcher, Pine, and Hokor.
Come on,
Quentin said. Will someone please tell me what's going on?
Nothing,
Hokor said.
Just run the drills.
Pine's blue face turned a little purple.
Nothing? Quentin, you telling me you never heard of George Starcher?
Quentin shook his head.
You haven't heard of Schizo Starcher? No? How about Crazy George?
Actually, Quentin had heard of Crazy George. He looked at the big yellow-faced human. Played for the Neptune Scarlet Flyers back in 78 or something? Quentin had never seen him play, but yeah, now he remembered. Quentin had read an illegal, pirated feature written by Yolanda Davenport. She'd covered George's philosophical blog or something, made him the subject of one of those colorful personalities of football pieces. Quentin remembered not because of Starcher, but because the story showed a picture of the young, blue-skinned reporter. Oh, how that picture had racked a 14-year-old Quentin with such guilt. She was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen, but it was sinful to be attracted to someone with blue skin.
Crazy George Starcher, Pine said. He's been kicked off more teams than I've played on.
But he played for Neptune, Quentin said. That means he's got Tier 1 experience.
That is right, Starcher said. I have decorated the highest halls of legend.
Sure, Pine said. And he was kicked off the Flyers for being bug nuts crazy. Then a season with the Titan Triangles in T2, who cut him, and another T2 season with the Lipton Engineers, who also cut him. Then, it seems, Mr. Paintyface changed his name and fell all the way down to the NFL.
Quentin heard what Pine was saying. He respected Pine's opinion above all others, but the fact remained that Starcher had Tier 1 experience. And those hands.
Starcher raised his right hand and looked up dramatically, maybe to the dome, maybe to some star above. Quentin looked up, but didn't see anything.
Donald Pine speaks the truth, Starcher said, every word dripping with the drama of a preacher. I changed my name because the name was offensive to the hidden old ones of the firmament, and one does not want to offend the hidden old ones of the firmament.
Come on, Don, Quentin said. Maybe the guy has straightened out his life or something.
Don looked stunned at the question.
Look at his face, Quentin! Does that look like the face of a man who has straightened out his life?
Didn't you just tell me to see if he can catch the ball? Well, he can.
That's why so many teams have given him a chance, Pine said.
Don't you want to find out why those same teams let him go? I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark here, Quentin. They let him go because he's rat-shucking crazy.
Maybe Pine was right. But Starcher had the speed, size, moves, and hands of an all-pro. Just the one pass told Quentin that Starcher was better than Yotaro Kobayashi, the Kraken starting tight end, and way better than that racist Rick Warburg. Who knew how good Starcher would be after a few weeks of practice, after learning the Kraken's offensive system?
Pine!
Hokor shouted.
This is not your decision! It's mine!
Pine glared at Hokor, then looked at Quentin.
Q, it's your show now. If you tell Coach no way, he won't sign Starcher. There's a reason that guy was in Tier 3. Don't sign him.
Hokor stayed silent, watching. So did Starcher. And so did Pine. They were all waiting for Quentin's words. Maybe it actually was Quentin's decision after all. Starcher spoke first.
I have thoughts, he said. Visions, if you will. But I...
His voice trailed off. It seemed very difficult for him to say what he needed to say. The dramatic tone dropped away, and Quentin heard the words of a desperate man.
I don't always think like maybe you think,
but I know I can still play. I can. I will work hard. I just want one more chance.
Quentin stared into the man's eyes. There was crazy in there, and after 19 years in a colony ruled by religious fundamentalists, Quentin Barnes knew crazy. But there was also pain. The pain of having both the ability and the desire, but no outlet for it. Quentin knew that pain firsthand. To give George Starcher that chance, all Quentin had to do was look past the odd behavior and the yellow grease paint. Quentin had learned to look past a lot of things in the months since he'd left McCovey.
Screw it, Quentin said. Starcher, you'll have to prove it in the locker room and in practice before you get a chance to prove it on the field. You have to do what Coach tells you to do, but first, you have to make me happy before you ever see a down of playing time. This is my show. You want in, you do it my way. That work for you?
Crazy George Starcher smiled and spread his arms.
Destiny delights us with opportunity only seldom. I would be a fool to turn her away, and I...
Starcher, Quentin interrupted. Put a sock in the crazy talk. My way or the highway. I want a simple yes or a simple no.
Starcher put his hands at his sides, clearly trying to control his emotions.
Yes, he said.
Quentin felt Don's hand on his shoulder.
Quentin, don't, Pine said. You'll regret this.
Quentin knew Pine had the experience, the wisdom, but Quentin wanted the kind of dominant tight end that Starcher could clearly be, that Quentin needed him to be. The road to a Tier 1 GFL championship would be a bumpy one.
Coach, Quentin said, sign this guy.
Pine kicked over the rack of footballs, then strode toward the tunnel.
There we are, Junkies, the starter, episode number 6. Hope you are enjoying the story so far, and I hope it's got you excited for Sigler Ascension Day. Those of you who are new, April 1st is the national, international, global, interplanetary galactic holiday known as Sigler Ascension Day. It started way back on April 1st, 2007, when we launched Ancestor as an indie trade paperback not available in stores on Amazon.com with the publisher at that time, Dragon Moon Press. So without any media attention of any kind, Ancestor was the number one horror and number one sci-fi book on Amazon.com. It was the number two fiction book overall behind one of the Harry Potter books. So that's where we started with Sigler Ascension Day, April 1st, 2007. Since then, we have launched Infected on April 1st. We have also launched the pre-order for the Rookie and the Starter and now the All-Pro. Again, mark your calendars, my friends. April 1st, 2011, scottsigler.com, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. Get your copy of the All-Pro. So to make sure you get the lowest number possible in this sign-numbered limited edition sale of the All-Pro, make sure that your shipping address in PayPal is accurate. Make sure that you use an email address that you actually check from time to time. For the Starter, we had a couple of people use an email address that they never checked, and we're still looking for them. They paid for their book, and we are still looking for them because we don't have phone numbers and they won't check their friggin' email. You need to make sure you are ordering the All-Pro if you want the All-Pro and not the Rookie or the Starter. If you want all three, no problem. I highly recommend you do that because we're down to 200 copies of the Rookie, and when they're gone, they're gone. But for the Starter, we had a couple people accidentally order multiple copies of the Rookie instead of ordering the Starter. So just take a good look at it when you order. And yes, you may order as many copies as you want, which I still think is a good investment. Because once the Rookie is sold out, by the time we come out with the 7th book in this series in another 4 years, those things are going to be worth a pretty penny. You have been asking about the ebook of the All-Pro. It is free if you purchase the hardcover. We will have it in formats for Nook, for Kindle, iPhone, iPad, Sony e-reader, Kobo, and anything that takes the EPUB format. So if you pre-order the hardcover, we will be sending you an email link to download the ebook on September 6th, the day the book comes out. Some people are already asking about the All-Pro audiobook. It will be available in September, but the podcast won't be until sometime in 2012. Yes, we will once again be selling the audiobook ahead of the podcast. There is no asking for specific numbers. Don't even bother. Don't email us. Don't ask for a number. The only way to get a low number is to make sure you are in early on April 1st, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, 5 p.m. GMT. Get in early. Get your order. That's your only shot. Discount codes will be available. They will be posted on the site. Those will save you a couple of bucks and, more importantly, give you the opportunity to patronize some of your other favorite podcasts. Put a couple of bucks in the pockets of your favorite podcasters. Personalization is only available through pre-order. This is very important. If you want me to sign the book to you in a specific way, or even just to sign it to your name, the only way that's going to happen is if you pre-order. We will do all the personalization, all the signing. We will do that all at one time, A and I and whoever else helps us ship the All-Pro. Then after that, when you order a copy of the All-Pro, if you get it after September 6th, to get it signed, you're going to have to come see me at an actual event. The All-Pro does not ship until September. If you want to go ahead and order the Rookie and the Starter now,
so that you have a complete set. We will ship those immediately. You can get those at scottsigler.com/GFL. Once again, we are down to 200 copies of The Rookie. And when they are gone, they are gone. So if you haven't got your copies or you want an extra one to put away, put it up on eBay in a couple years, save it for the kids. I don't know. You better get in there and get those suckers right now. Can you tell I'm excited? I am excited because we are continuing this grand tradition, the third book in the Galactic Football League series, The Continuing Adventures of One Quentin Barnes. Now, I have a promo for you, and I have new junkie shoutouts. Those are coming up right after I tell you about our new project, Blood is Red. We've been talking about releasing the Bloodcast Season 1 short stories as an ebook for a little while. And now what we've decided to do, A. Kovacs and I at Dark Overlord Media, we thought about it. We've added a huge new short story. We podcast the short stories when we have them, but we're also changing the business model to some extent. People are making a lot of money off ebooks, entertaining a lot of people, and the ebook market is only going to continue growing as people buy Kindles and Nooks, iPads, and start to read ebooks on their smartphones. Right now, my ebook consumption, about 25% of the books that I sell are ebooks. That is way up. It was 10% a year ago. I mean, it's exploding. So that means we are going to start putting out some books as ebook only that are not going to be podcast in their entirety to try and facilitate our ebook sales. Our first experiment with this is going to be a project called Blood is Red. This is going to include most of the stories that were in Bloodcast Season 1. It's going to include edited, updated versions of Wolf, Number One with a Bullet, The Great Snipe Hunt, Sacred Cow, Red Man, Iowa Typhoon, and an updated Mount Fitzroy, as well as one brand new short story. So what some people are doing in the Kindle store and the Nook store, they are selling short stories for 99 cents. There are a lot of people also selling full-length books for 99 cents, but right now 99 cents is the minimum price. So what Kovacs and I have decided is we're going to sell Blood is Red ebook with all of those stories for just 99 cents. And we think that price is great because if you've heard of us, if you've heard these stories before, we've got one brand new story that is totally, totally worth a dollar of your money. And that's what we're going to do. So sometime in the near future, we will be releasing a book of short stories called Blood is Red. It will be the first book in a series of short story collections, and we will be putting out more short stories in the future. The second edition will probably include some of the short stories from Bloodcast Season 2, and then from there, it'll be all original stuff. No idea when the other books in the series will come out, but very soon, Blood is Red will be available for your ebook reader. And the other thing that's going to be fun about that, that gives us a chance to once again bust out the Amazon Rush. And if you guys remember the Amazon Rush from my previous books, they're a ton of fun. I think we can really have a good time doing the $1 ebook Amazon Rush of Blood is Red. And now, new junkie shoutouts. 28 brilliant people. 28 people who will impact the world around them and leave it a better place. Or if you're more like me, destroy it and leave it a worse place. These are people who signed up with profiles over at scottsigler.com, which does make them eligible to be in a Scott Sigler short story, in a novel, and hopefully be mutilated and killed in that story by their real names. People like from Australia, Kurz, from Canada, Cal Lendros, from England, Mac Kenzie, from France, Dennis, from Scotland, Johnny Mouche, from the UK, Jack JL, and my countrymen and countrywomen from the United States of America, Pablo, Mike Hawk is Fat, Dingbad 66, P-Ray, Valkyrie's Things, Cheatraz, Just Zagat, KD Leo, Retief, Arwen Alot, Lord Zubka, G. Hudson, J. Radimus, and Ender Speaker. That list of new junkies was compiled by the Evil Queen, and this week, her favorite new junkie name is Dennis. Apparently, the Evil Queen is tired of the cleverness and wants to go with a simple pick. So she likes you, Dennis. And Dennis, your prize for being the Evil Queen's favorite new junkie name this week is one Jumbo Glue Stick. I don't know why I have a Jumbo Glue Stick in my desk drawer. I haven't used a effing glue stick for 20 years, but for some reason, in my desk drawer, there is a Jumbo Glue Stick, and Dennis, that belongs to you. That's the kind of prizes we dish out here at ScottSigler.com, baby. That is it for this week, Junkies. I will now leave you with the promo for the Scottish thriller free podcast novel, Bone Machines, by author John Dodd. This one sounds pretty good to me. I think I might even give it a listen myself. That's it for me. Enjoy the promo, and I will talk to you all real soon.
They Suffer for His Art. Out now from podiobooks.com. Bone Machines, a new Scottish crime thriller by John Dodds. When a number of women are reported missing in Glasgow, the spectre of a previous spate of unsolved disappearances in the city rears its head. Journalist Ray Bissett is drawn into the case when his daughter joins the ranks of the missing, and ambitious police detective Tom Kendrick won't let Ray forget a terrible incident from his past which resulted in the death of a woman and a young boy. Damaged lives and dark secrets. The streets of Glasgow haunted by the ghosts of the missing. And an artist driven by a deadly inspiration.
You have been listening to The Starter, Book 2 in the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by Scott Sigler. Produced by the A-Team of Ariok, Morningstar, and A. Kovacs. For more information on the author and for more free stories, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song Heaven's a Lie by the band Lacuna Coil.